Broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world. To the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul. BlakeRadio.com.
This is Diane Murray Ward, Faceted Gems. Give thanks for our blessings. Enjoy life and loved ones now. Mentor when you can. Silence allows us to hear the inner voice and concentrate on the good. Thank you for joining me. I have a very special guest today. His name is Phil. He has a wonderful background and history, an involvement in vocational work, and he has changed himself over many times in terms of finding that vocation and job and skill and ability, and I'm so happy and so pleased to have someone who is such a special guest, not only as a guest, but as someone who has helped me grow so much. Welcome, Phil.
Well, thank you. Good evening to you, too.
This program is basically to help people discover their inner strengths and realize that we are multifaceted and that we have skill sets that can be used in a variety of different ways. First, tell people what you do for a living.
Oh, currently I'm a certified surgical technologist. I assist surgeons in their surgical duties. I make sure that the instrumentation is sterile, that it's appropriate, and after that I pass the instruments and make sure everything is there for the surgeons and do everything pretty much except cut the patient and close the patient.
Now, how did you decide this is what you wanted to do?
Well, it's funny because this was not a profession that I ever really saw myself in doing through the grace of God and opportunities that were open to me by individuals that I really didn't expect it from. You know, the opportunity arose where I could study to take a position like that and ultimately get certified. And again, this wasn't anything that I had really planned for, but I think it just goes to show that we all, it really does go to show that everyone has a purpose that's already set up for you, even though you may not see it yourself. I think that's a perfect example of that.
Mm-hmm.
I think the closest I came to ever looking at a career in medicine was when I was a small child. My brother and I received doctors, toy stethoscopes and toy doctor
right.
bags and
right.
that kind of thing. And that was the closest that I had envisioned, a career in medicine. but I can tell you it is fulfilling on a number of levels. And again, it truly is amazing because I never really saw myself doing that for a living or being able to help other people in that capacity. I never, ever imagined that growing up.
What did you think you were going to do growing up?
I was very fond of drawing. I was fond of looking at buildings and wondering what made them stay up.
Mm-hmm.
But I was not I was not a fan of mathematics, and once I found out that mathematics was an integral part of designing buildings and architecture, I pretty much gave up on that rather quickly.
Now you work on the architecture of the human body, how that stands up.
Well, yeah,
I guess that's
right? kind of funny how that worked out. Yeah, I guess that's true. then it was
the
sports,
architecture
you know,
of the body, right? Okay.
Yeah, it's funny how that worked out. Architecture and designing and building things, and of course there were sports that my brother and I were very interested in, and those were, and music. I'm a bass player, but those were primarily the three things growing up that were of interest to me, and nothing really close to medicine really caught my eye.
So you mentioned that through the grace of God, there were people that you met or that came into your life that were able to assist you and help you and I guess guide you, and I don't know if you want to say mentor, but they were very instrumental in getting you to the where you are now, and you seem to be very happy in what you do. A way in which you're able to then do that for other people? I mean, have you come across other people that are maybe not quite sure what they want to do, but they find that niche like you did?
Well, very much so. In the particular position that I hold, I'm given the opportunity multiple times every year to actually precept and teach other young, aspiring surgical technologists. They are in a position where they can basically pick what field of the armed forces they would like to serve in. It just so happened that they picked this particular branch. So I'm in a position where I'm actually able to guide them, to teach them what I know, and from that point on, I guess they can determine whether or not that's something they would care to pursue. I mean, they sign on for X amount of years.
Right.
But I've actually had a couple of them that had gone on into nursing, maybe got on to some other things, and actually once they got out, did it in the civilian life.
Mm-hmm.
So that in and of itself I thought was kind of cool, you know.
It's the kind of profession that you have to continually study and update your skills, or I know you have to get certified.
Well, in certification, it used to be every 6 years, and now it's every 4 years. So I've been steadily certified since '94.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it goes to showing your employers and your peers that you're serious about what you do. There are a lot of excellent technologists out there that are currently not certified. I just prefer to be certified because it's a reaffirmation to myself and to my peers and to my profession that I take seriously what I do.
Right.
So there's always a lot of new technology in medicine. There's like Da Vinci robots and, things that 15, 20 years ago are not heard of,
mm-hmm.
But that are now in place. for various injuries and so forth. So, you know, it changes all the time. And as many years as I've been doing this, I learn something new almost every day. So that in and of itself makes it exciting.
And one of the things that I know that other guests have also, you know, echoed just as you have is that they're constantly open to learning. You know, they never feel that they've learned it all already and they've now satiated everything, no matter what the field is, that they're open to learning. And I find that sometimes people who feel they know everything already, they're not open to learning, so they lose out on so much more. And I think, knowing you, because I think that you're the kind of person that even if it wasn't certification, Bob, you would still be curious enough to continue to seek out information and get. I think that's probably crucial when an individual is looking inward and wanting to discover what else they can pull on, you know, innate skills or talents or, you know, there has to be a certain kind of person that can deal with working in surgery, I would think.
I think it may be more important, but not much, as say someone working on airplanes or working on cars. If you screw up, someone could get hurt or killed.
Mm-hmm.
Again, this was not a profession I thought I would ever be involved in, but I think it is pretty cool to be in a field where you're trying to fix or mend something that God made.
Right.
It's different than, I guess, fixing refrigerators or,
right,
you know, being a part of a team that fixes refrigerators or tables or whatever. As far as, I think if you just have pride in whatever you do, whether it's mopping floors or building something or cleaning homes or whatever, or washing cars, I think if you have a pride in what you do, I think it's natural to try to be the best that you can to the point where it doesn't even feel like you're trying.
Right.
You know, once people know that your name is on something or you're responsible for something, I would think that you would want to be, you would want to put your best foot forward.
Sure.
You know, because it reflects upon you, your family, your profession, and everything else. So it's nothing that I try hard to do. I'm just blessed that my upbringing and the people around me, you know, family members, people that I was blessed enough to be around, you know, made that a comfortable way to be, you know, where you do your best because that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, we've had some guests that have taken other career routes that their family and friends have not been particularly supportive of, and so they've had a different kind of struggle in that they had to almost reaffirm internally that I can do this, I can do this. And it doesn't sound like you had that. It sounds like you set your head straight on what it is you wanted to do. You found this was interesting, and you just went ahead and pursued it. And I think that, like you said, when you have that support system, it does make a major difference. Because we've had some guests that have had the support system, like you said, and others that really had to fight tooth and nail, especially when they were in professions that people said, hey, you can make money on this. Don't, you know, upset the apple cart. Just stay with what you're doing and don't get into, like, creative venues or anything, you know, like that. At the same time, of course, you had to be employed. You had to be gainfully
right.
employed. You needed employment.
Well,
I mean, you know.
Well, again, it is funny because, again, like I said before, it wasn't something that I had envisioned, you know, early on to do. You know, it just so happened that avenues and doors were opened and you know, it seemed like something interesting to do. It seemed like something that I thought I could do. I had a lot of apprehension. I had done nothing other than put a Band-Aid on my finger or one of my children's fingers up until I started studying to do that. But again, I think if you have pride in what you do, and again, you know, my father, thank God he's still alive, he had an extremely hard work ethic. as does my mother. They both worked very hard, and again, it wasn't, you know, they didn't beat work ethic into our heads. It was just something that we saw on a daily basis. You know,
right.
My mother went back to school, got the degree, got her master's. And, you know, my father, you know, it was a snowstorm. We would joke and say there was one set of footsteps going out the door, going out of the house to go to work, and it was my father's.
Right.
You know, and we wanted for nothing. Nothing was ever cut off. There was always food and new clothes every August for school. And I think, and unfortunately, not enough children today have that kind of, those kind of parents, you know, to look up to. Those kind of role models to look up to, unfortunately. And so, you know, for myself and my siblings, you know, again, we were not hit in the head repeatedly about what to do, you know, to do this and that because it's the right thing to do. We just saw it on a daily basis, and we knew just, you know, through osmosis that was expected of us.
Exactly.
And, so it's unfortunate that a lot of these kids we see today and now that are young adults that have gone astray and doing a whole lot of stupid things, you know, these were not role models. These were not things that they saw. So in that respect, again, you know, we were blessed in that manner also.
And you see, and also children will also throw in your face, if, well, you're not doing it. Why are you making it such a big issue? You know, because actions speak louder than words. And
true.
And children, even very young children, they remember a lot. People think that kids don't recall she was so young or he was so young. They don't recall that, don't remember. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. You'd be surprised at what as someone who has children, as you said, what children remember, what they recall, and that work ethic. It's something that you take for granted because it's just, you think everybody has to do that. That's how you're supposed to live. That's how you bring food on the table, and that's why it seems so natural to you to want to find something that would make you get up every day and go and do that grind, as some people say. It's very important to find that niche and feel fulfilled. It sounds as if it's a profession that you not only take a lot of pride in, but that you actually enjoy. You look forward to going to work every day?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Not too many professions I can think of off the top of my head where you're actually dealing with a customer base that, you know, I'm sure in some instances, you know, these people have never prayed before, before they're wheeled into the room. Now, they may not know I'm there. They're more often than not drugged up or, you know, but, you know, sometimes they're scared. And again, a lot of times, some of these people have never prayed before they've come into your room. And that's not an ego thing. That just says to me that, you know, what I'm doing and the people that I'm doing it with, I'm not doing anything by myself. But it just says to me that we're there for something, you know, more than just you know, serving a meal or providing a regular service, even though those things are important.
Right.
You know, to me, that's something that's special.
It touches a different level, an inner, almost indescribable, isn't it?
Well, again, I think people that are racist could stand to learn a lesson, because I've seen all races and people from every country and every economic background, and trust me, they all look the same on the inside. Quite frankly, they everyone looks the same on the inside. I'm proud of what I do.
Well, you are listening to Faceted Gems on the Blake Radio Network Rainbow Soul. I'm your host, Diane Murray Ward. I'm talking to Phil, who is someone who I admire a great deal, ladies and gentlemen, and he's someone who really, when he's explaining his profession and his journey to that job, he's telling you genuinely and sincerely from the heart that you just never know where those opportunities and those friends will come from that will inspire you to find a profession that you never thought of before that might just open so many other doors for you and bring you to an understanding of people, of life, of, I mean, it doesn't sound as if you'd want to do anything else at this point, is there?
No, mm-hmm. quite frankly, no. My wife and my kids will, and my siblings and my mom and my dad will probably be the first ones to say that I'm not the adventurous type by any stretch of the imagination. And again, this was not something I thought that I could do. I can tell you parachuting is not something I will try. You know, mountain climbing, you know, things like that are definitely not things that I can definitely say I have absolutely no interest in learning or doing. But I think for those people that are listening, it doesn't matter your age, I think it helps to read. I always remember growing up, we always had magazines and newspapers and stuff to read. If you watch TV or documentaries, to at least see how other people live and to see other things that are going on. You know, with all this reality stuff that's on TV, I think people are kind of getting boxed into, in my opinion, I think most of it is nonsensical, and I think, you know, people need to open their horizons and see what the real world is like. And,
right.
You know, the real world is not what they're calling reality TV by any stretch of the imagination.
Right.
But I think it goes a long way to try to understand, you know, what's out there, how other people live, what makes people the way they are.
Right.
I think if we did more of that, we'd be less apt to be haters and more apt to try to understand what makes somebody the way they are.
And the more we're really one and the same, you know, like you said,
yeah,
on the inside we're all the same, and
yep.
And it's and what you do, what you're doing is such a skill that is used universally. I mean, all over the world. I mean, this is not something that's just germane to the United States. Medical techs are used all over the world and in various settings, and it's something that. I mean, you're in a field that, because it's medical, right away at some point in time, we all know that we all need some kind of medical help. Maybe not, hopefully not to meet up with you or any of your team, but just in terms of we're all human. We all have bodies. They all break down at some point in various different ways.
And
that humanness, that bringing us, you know what I mean? Just remember, whatever your economic status is, you still got to eat. You still got to, you know, some of the basics. And like you said, some of the reality stuff that's on TV, well, okay, that may be fun and games, but the bottom line is we're all human, and we all need help sometimes. And I don't think that the patients that are brought to you really care at that point when either they're trying to pray or they pray or they're meditating or whatever or crying or smiling or whatever, really care whether you're black or white or if you were born in this country or not or anything else, just
right.
So long as you can do the job. Am I right or wrong?
That's absolutely correct. I mean, if you could take the most avowed racist, then I think if their child was dying and there was only one doctor or one surgeon available at that moment, I don't think they'd much care if that person was black or white or Puerto Rican or whatever. You know, I don't think they would much care. Unfortunately, we live in a world where I'm sure there's going to be someone that would care.
mm-hmm.
But again, we're all the same. And, you know, again, if anything that I've done or been through could help anyone else, just know that if it's something that you want to do, if you study it and you do it, you can be comfortable in doing it and you can achieve it. Because as I said again, this was nothing that I actually saw myself doing. So, you know, if it's something that's of interest to anyone out there that they thought about, whether it's finances, accounting, medicine, you know, whatever, a carpentry, masonry,
right.
Whatever, but something, you know, read up on it. Get to know the people that can open doors for you. Pick their brains, because I still pick a lot of brains.
Right.
You know, I'll ask a surgeon stuff in a heartbeat to explain something to me, even at this point in my career.
Right.
And, you know, to do that, and if you do it long enough, you become comfortable and you can become proficient at it.
So. And behind all of that, you have a chance. I always ask all of my guests this. Do you have a chance to have a hobby, something that takes you away that allows you to relax after doing all of this?
Yeah, and I don't do as much of it as I need to, but I'm a bassist.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 40 years now. But, I mean, I'm not making any money doing that, but it's just something that I know how to do, and I enjoy it. Sports, I've always been interested in that. History and documentaries, I've always been interested in that. So, yeah, you always need something, especially in this, to be a, something to take me away from, you know, what I see on a daily and a weekly basis. That's important also. I'm grateful for those things. And then my family, I enjoy cooking and they enjoy my cooking. So, you know, these little diversions are important for me so that I can do the best that I can.
Right.
At my job.
It's been my experience that I've met some people and I've worked with some people that are so focused on only one thing. They don't and they do their job, but they don't have any other life. It's just the job has become so consuming. And that if the job were to ever go away, they wouldn't have anything else. And that's very, very dangerous.
Right.
And so I've always encouraged people to have that outside enjoyment, hobby, something else that can take them away, even if it's just for a few moments, away from what they do. And I'm so just so happy that you were able to come and speak on Faceted Gems. And
I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you very much.
I think that it's wonderful to be able to have testimony from real people who have been able to allow themselves the chance to grow and to experiment, and yeah, there is some anticipation and there is some anxiety when you try something new, really out of your comfort zone, especially when it's something out of what you didn't think you were going to do. And I just, want to just say again how much I appreciate knowing you and having you in my life, and it's been wonderful. And you're a wonderful father, provider, and everything else. And I think that, because I know your family, and I think that it's wonderful that you're able to provide as you do and talk so candidly about it, because this program was developed so that others can be inspired. And perhaps some key thing that you have said will inspire and encourage someone else to go out of their shell and look elsewhere and perhaps find what they need. So
well,
I just want to thank you again.
I thank you. And again, I appreciate it. And you know how highly I think of you as well. And again, if any for those that are listening, just everyone is there's a place and a plan for everyone. And, you know, it just has to be revealed to you through somebody or something. And I guess that's the best way I can put it.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we had Phil on tonight. This has been Faceted Gems. Thank you so much for listening. Lead, love everyone, empower, assist when you can, dream and believe in the positive energy within. Thank you again. You're listening to Brian Snow.